Welcome in to Arrowhead Pride Radio.
And Mahomes is on fire!
Here's the editor-in-chief of Arrowhead Pride, Pete Sweeney and Dusty Likens.
It's Thanksgiving. Well, it's Friendsgiving. That's why we're kind of doing this. But I wanted to be nice to you people because I know how many people, I see the downloads, get to watch Arrowhead Pride or listen to Arrowhead Pride Radio every Wednesday night. No Arrowhead Pride Radio tonight because K-State plays pregame starting at 5:30. And you won't get to hear Pete Sweeney or myself because then Thursday, Friday, everybody off. Sunday's game day. You got to get your fix. You got to get your Arrowhead Pride fix. So joining me now.
No days off.
That's right. No sleeps, no days off. Even though I do have a weird question. Is the facility open tomorrow?
It is. Yeah, there's a practice. There is not as much media and no press conferences, so on and so forth. And they do the practice a little bit earlier tomorrow so the guys can get home and enjoy Thanksgiving. But it is a game week, so it's just back to normal on Friday. So you can expect everything that you would on a normal Friday, but here we are on Wednesday, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, so we're doing Arrowhead Pride Radio, 3 hours earlier than usual, four.
Yep. If there's one thing I'm good at, it's presenting early.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that where I'm going to go after that, but I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that sounds good. It already feels like it's going to be a different hour than I usually have with Carrington.
Should be. You'll probably have your eyes open a little bit more. You can actually be mean instead of having to be like the super nice guy since Carrington obviously is like the normal 2-6 guy. Now you got this substitute teacher in here to where you can just be the pest of the class.
Mm-hmm.
So then when the boss gets the write-up on Monday, it says, Pete was a little different in his normal class period time. Okay. Must have been the substitute teacher.
I would always get pretty good grades, but my teachers didn't like my conduct. A little bit of a class clown girl.
Shocker.
Yeah.
You know where I was. Obviously.
Bad grades and class clown. You were in the other
Not side. Bad grade, not terrible.
Right.
I was more of the C's get degrees. Look at me now.
I mean, you are a beacon of success.
But I was also the guy that was very sarcastic.
Sure.
So when my teachers would go away for the whatever it was, they would leave reports. Like, hey, Scotty, David, Dusty tend to be a little rowdy. Just let me know what happens. So then when the teachers would come back, I treated it like going to a friend's house for a sleepover.
Right.
Like my parents would always drop me up, and Mom notoriously would do this. She'd say, just make sure Dusty behaves. I'm sorry if he does anything, but, you know, whatever. And then when they would pick me up, it was, Dusty was great, and he's welcome back anytime.
Wow.
And as soon as we got in the car, my mom would say, what'd you do? You know? And so, like, when the teachers would come back, people would get their bad reports and all this, and then it would be like, Dusty was outstanding, helpful, and kind.
Yeah.
And as soon as everybody left, I'd be like, Dusty, you mind staying after class? I'd be like, yeah. What'd you do?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I knew you were gone, so I wanted to be a leader.
Well, I mean, everything you're describing, you just sound like a weasel.
Yeah.
Perfect way to describe it.
Like Lester Diamond from Casino is where you could compare me to.
Right. Gollum.
First question, Pete, how do I hear AP Radio?
Well,
that's from the text line.
Usually at 6 p.m. every Wednesday, 6 to 7, and then we will throw it up on our podcast channel for the AP Radio replay. So if you have an iPhone, that would be Apple iTunes. If you have an Android, you can get it on Spotify, and there's a slew of other ways to download AP Radio.
So let's talk about the lead of the week, and then we'll dive into the injury report about a little bit later. But are we about to witness the best season a quarterback and a tight end have ever had in one season?
I think so. I think what you're seeing from Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce is normal, but it's almost normal on steroids. And I'm using that very, very figuratively. I don't think either of these guys are on steroids, just to be clear. But I'm just been so impressed because Travis is older now. And to do what he's doing at age 33, it's not only just a progression, a continuation of what we've seen from him as a younger player. This is probably his best season. And he's already matched his touchdown total, that 4-touchdown game and that 3-touchdown game help. But, man, we have 7 games left, and we'll see if the Chiefs end up having to play that last one. If they keep winning, maybe they wouldn't even have to play their starters. So, you know, you want to call that maybe 6 games, just depending on how this whole thing goes. At least 6 games left. 20 touchdowns is possible because if you mix in a few more multiple touchdown games, And how incredible would that be? A 20 touchdown season for a tight end.
What's the most Gronk got to? It's like 16 or 18?
Without looking, I believe it was 16.
I knew he had a crazy year where he was just insanely different than everybody else. Because that's the conversation that we keep getting is that, yeah, Kelsey's good, but, you know.
I'm mistaken. 2011, he had 17 receiving touchdowns. So Kelsey would need to get to 18.
Okay. And he's at 11?
Just used a little trusty thing we call the internet, which I have in front of me right
here. Reference.
Yeah.
So yeah, I. But then you look, you flip it over to the quarterback,
right?
And you look at what Patrick Mahomes is doing, and I said my biggest hot take in the preseason was that Patrick Mahomes would have one of his best 3 years of his career this year, but it probably wouldn't be the year he had as a first year starter. Last I checked, he's projected 5,500 yards passing and like 51 touchdowns throwing. His first year in the league as a starter, he threw for what, 5,050, I think is what it was, like just over 5,000 and then 50 touchdowns almost exactly.
Yeah, that's correct. And on pace for more. And that is an incredible in itself, just the way that Mahomes is playing. So long as he stays healthy, he'll win the MVP. That's where we're at right now. And same thing with the division, right? You can say that with the division. And I know there are a lot of people that are like, don't say it yet. Don't. But it's, I mean, the percentages are just so ridiculous right now. You have to talk about it just because we've never seen anything like this. In all the years that they've won a division in a row, it's never been over or seemingly over, to just be careful here, seemingly over this early.
Yeah.
So if everyone stays healthy, it's just, you know, it could be the best season of the Patrick Mahomes era. And as teams realize this, like, they can have this historical regular season, but then it really comes down to the three games after that. Like, can you win a Super Bowl? Because, you know, there's a Patriots team that would tell you can have as great a regular season as possible, but if you don't win the championship, it doesn't really matter.
It's a new week in the NFL, which means it's time to take a look at the new injury report for the Chiefs.
All right. You hear the guitar. It's me on top of the roof keeping the bats away like in Stranger Things.
Mm-hmm.
There was a name that got put on IR today that, just like every other season, it seems to happen. And then there was a name that sounded like he might be back this Sunday. Pete, take it away.
Yeah, so we don't have the official injury report yet. Usually we do this at 6 o'clock. Comes out this hour, typically speaking, but we have an idea of what it's going to be because I was able to get my eyes on some players at practice here. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to injured reserve. He has a high ankle sprain, and that means he'll miss at least the next 4 games. But the way that Andy Reid is making it sound, it does sound like this may be more serious than other high ankle sprains. So Chiefs only have 7 games left. They're through their bye week, so we'll see if he ends up playing another game. I guess we're going to talk about that in a second here. Lucas Niang has been added to the 53-man roster. This is key depth for the Chiefs. Asked Andy Reid about this on Monday, and he told me that Niang isn't given to be the right tackle. I know that from my mentions and the comments on Arrowhead Pride, a lot of people are ready for Wiley to be replaced as soon as possible. I just don't think that's happening yet. Andy Reid over the years has also shown a tendency is if the team is winning, he doesn't really shake up the O-line and isn't quick to do it. Joe Tooney and Kadarius Toney will not practice, at least to start the week.
That's a tough one. Tooney-Toney?
Tooney has done this before where he wouldn't practice these first few days, and he pushes through and ends up playing in the game. I mean, he doesn't even care. He breaks his hand in the game and stays in. Kadarius Toney, I think, is more concerning because it sounds like it's a hamstring, which is something that dated back to New York, and Sammy's been bothering him, and we know from witnessing the Royals and some of the problems with the hamstring, like the hamstrings would just linger. So I don't know. I don't know how you guys feel about it out there, but I would tend to say I think the Chiefs can win without him. They were doing it before. So at this stage, just shut him down until he's completely 100% right, even if it takes 5 games, right? Like, maybe, you know, even if it's like some kind of boost you get for the postseason, I would say just be overcautious. Good sign that Juju Smith-Schuster and Chris LeMond are back to practice. They were going through the concussion protocol. I'm pretty optimistic that both of these guys make their return on Sunday. And I was pleasantly surprised to hear that Juan Thornhill was giving it a go today. I was concerned because he exited the game with the calf issue, and they ruled him out very quickly. And typically that's a bad, bad sign, but he was working today, so that's a good thing.
So what does Juju have to do? Because I saw that he still has to, he just has to practice fully and then go through another like screening and then he can be clear. Because I saw that he's practicing.
Yeah.
But normally you don't practice if you're still in the protocol. Now obviously there's the new this season two a thing, but like
there's a 5-step process that these players have to go through where it's I won't list all the steps, but it's a ramp up, light work first. And one of the final steps is going through a full regular practice. So good to see that he was able to try to do that today. We'll see if he gets through it and then is ruled out of what would be the concussion protocol and return. We talked to Patrick Mahomes today, very excited to potentially get Juju Smith-Schuster back in the lineup. He was popping off before all of a sudden he had that concussion and it was tough to watch. So good to hear that he's in improving health, and we'll see if he plays this weekend.
Last one before we go to a break, Ronald Jones Jr.,
Rojo.
He got the guy that normally sits in the seat and talks to you during this time. He was big team support, Roj. Any chance?
I think there's a chance that he suits up. I think you need to have another back that's an early down back in the case of an injury to your now starter, Isaiah Pacheco. What I'm hoping, and this is just me talking, is that Rojo doesn't enter a Clyde Edwards-Helaire role where they're swapping back and forth. I like the hot hand thing, but we have seen enough, in my opinion, to play Isaiah Pacheco to get him 10 to 20 touches a game because you see what it does for the offense. But, I mean, I don't make these decisions, Dusty, so we'll see what they do.
Well, breaking news right here. Rams head coach Sean McVay has ruled Matthew Stafford out for Sunday versus the Chiefs due to what the team believes is a strained neck. Is what they want to call that. So no Matthew Stafford official today as of 3:12, 47 seconds past the 12 minute.
What do you think of the chances are that Bryce Perkins knocks off Patrick Mahomes on Sunday, Dusty?
We'll get to Ron Cobb Jr. after this. We come back, the lead analyst of Arrowhead Pride on 610 Sports Radio. Backing on the Arrowhead Pride radio show a little bit early. A little bit early on a Wednesday because K-State, out of nowhere.
The Wildcats.
They're playing in the championship in the Cayman Classic. How about that?
Every man a Wildcat.
Ema.
A little outdated, that phrase.
I'll let you handle that as we hit the holiday season.
Yeah, let's get to Ron.
But speaking of out of nowhere, it is RKJ, the lead analyst of Arrowhead Pride Radio, Ron Kopp. A little early, but how you doing on this Friendsgiving Wednesday?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm here to spread the good word that Thanksgiving is the best holiday. So make sure you tell your friends and family because it is the best holiday. So I'm here to make that statement before we get started. I got to say it.
Okay, wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask why it's the best holiday.
I mean, you don't have to worry about presents. You don't have to worry about that part of it. And all you got to do is worry about sitting, hanging out with your family, watching football, eating tons of food, and no one judges you for it. I mean, I can watch football without, getting the side eye, like, oh, you're watching football again? I mean, come on. That's what it's all about, NBA can have its Christmas Day, man. I'm all about Thanksgiving football. It's the GOAT holiday.
Ron's making some good points. I do like sitting.
Mm-hmm.
I like football.
Yep.
Like eating.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like being judged for anything I do, really, when it comes down to it.
Only God can judge me.
Till I'm gone.
Tupac
exactly.
Shakur.
Either love me or leave me alone.
Okay. I thought Ron was going to come back, but he's very respectful to the boss. Ron, what are three things you must have on Thanksgiving?
Oh man, okay,
anything.
Okay.
It could be anything.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm not going to say turkey because you don't have to have it. I really don't think it's a have to have. You got to have your sides though, and so if you're asking me, man, you got to have your mashed potatoes. That's just a staple. You got to have it. You got to have your stuffing. It's just a part of it, and if you got to make it good. I mean, my mom makes good stuffing. So I know there are bad stuffings, bad dressings out there, not in my house. So that's two out of three. And you got to have some pie. I mean, if I got to pick one pie, ooh, man, that is tough. If I got to pick one pie, I got to say French silk pie. I know it's the chocolate pie. I know it's kind of like the traditional pie, but I love me some French silk pie. So I got to say it.
What does he mean? French what?
French silk.
Never had it.
Are you serious?
Oh, it's like a chocolate pie. Yeah, it's like chocolate.
So it's chocolate it's like cream. This nice graham crust.
Mm.
Then they put this chocolate like cream in the middle.
Okay.
Then they put whipped cream on top and then these chocolate shavings that go on top of that.
Okay.
It was my birthday cake for 7 consecutive years.
Happy birthday. Happy belated. Nice.
Thank you. Yeah.
And that's early birthday.
That's what I asked for my birthday. 7 years in a row is French silk pie from Tippins, which Ooh. Used to be the GOAT French silk pie. But Ron, enough of me, enough of all of that. Clyde Edwards-Helaire goes on the IR today. Juju practices, but it's the Rams and the Chiefs, and I know that you'll be watching a ton of video throughout the week, probably Friday when you're hungover from all the pie and stuffing and all that, but the one thing I will ask you is this game one of those games where it's like it's a good focus game to kind of figure out what you do well, take care of business, because they're 14.5-point favorites. Matthew Stafford just officially ruled out. How does this game get played by the Kansas City Chiefs? Do we see third appearance of any given Sunday?
I could see that. The Rams roster is definitely depleted enough to get to that point. You know, they were competitive with the Saints last week, even when Stafford went out. They still do have, you know, some players healthy, but it really has been slim pickings on the Rams, especially on offense, man. They're dealing with a lot. You know, ever since Kupp went out, they just can get nothing done. You know, they really, you know, Kupp was really that entire offense. So, now Bryce Perkins starting for him. He's the third-string quarterback originally. Stafford is out, but also the backup quarterback as well. And so, yeah, Perkins, he can run. He had a 23-yard run last week. He's had some, you know, he can move. And so I could see them doing a little more quarterback run game, kind of maybe mucking this game up and keep trying to keep it low scoring. But I don't know. I see the Chiefs doing what they do. You know, they come out, play their offense. We'll see not a very creative game plan from Andy Reid, a lot of vanilla stuff, but just running their plays and kind of saying, hey, we're going to beat you how we do it. And I could see the Chiefs offense maybe getting a little corralled a little bit. You know, the Rams still have their talent, you know, their top talent, Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Donald, Bobby Wagner all playing, but I don't see how the Rams offense gets much going, especially in Arrowhead. Chiefs defense has been playing well lately, so I don't know about the 14.5-point spread, but I do know that the Chiefs are going to probably win this pretty comfortably.
Pete Sweeney and Dusty Likens talking to our lead analyst at Arrowhead Pride, Ron Kopp, on a early edition of Arrowhead Pride Radio. Ron, your article for us today was the Chiefs showcasing their deep wide receiver room against the Chargers. What impressed you the most about the Chiefs wide receiver room and their pass catching room, really beyond what Juju Smith-Schuster is able to do since he was out last game?
Right. I think the most impressive part is Justin Watson, the Sky Moore, kind of lead the way outside of Travis Kelce. And, you know, maybe a week, maybe even just maybe we can say 2 weeks ago, and maybe even just going into this game, we all kind of just said they were the fifth and sixth receiver. And they're coming in and playing like they could be the first and second receiver if they really needed to. I mean, Justin Watson's, you know, play, his chemistry with Mahomes, his steadiness is just really, really, you know, shocking that he was just a throw in the bunch free agent in the offseason, right? You know, no one really wanted him. He was on the Bucs practice squad. And he is just so, you know, he's so reliable. And I thought it was really noticeable, really, significant that he was on a 3rd and 17 late in the game when they really needed it. He was the primary route on a really important pass play. And it could have been MBS. It could have been Sky Moore, too. But they trusted Watson to be that primary guy. They actually used Sky Moore as more of a decoy on that play. But Sky Moore does get some love, too, because, man, he was impressive doing the stuff that we all kind of thought he could do in terms of route running, release off the line of scrimmage, and then great hands, too. I thought that was maybe the most impressive part was he had some really tough catches, and one of them was on a scramble drill where you saw him, you know, really follow Mahomes' path and get in a throwing window. So Sky Moore had a really good game, and the fact that if everyone's healthy, these guys might be the fifth and sixth receivers is pretty amazing about this receiving corps.
Ron, last one, then we'll let you get on with your holiday and everything like that. I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't somewhat kind of sound similar to Carrington. The Chiefs win this game if the Chiefs lose this game if.
Very nice.
So, yeah, I think the Chiefs win this game if their offense can just you know, take off and do their thing against the talented defense. I think the Rams offense could do, you know, Sean McVay is still a really good offensive coach, and it's kind of hard to prepare, you know, for a new quarterback. They didn't have, you know, they weren't game planning to have this quarterback last week. So I do think the Rams offense maybe could, you know, do some things. I just think the Chiefs offense needs to be the one to put up points. So I say the Chiefs win if the offense just has another great day like we've seen them in recent weeks, but the Chiefs lose if I think, the Rams offense gets going and the Chiefs defense doesn't respect the quarterback run game maybe and doesn't, you know, handle their business and doesn't come in focus bags, maybe plays a vanilla game plan. I think, yeah, the Chiefs lose if their defense can't hold their own and keep the offense down, because the Rams defense on the other side, you know, absolutely has a, you know, it can corral the Chiefs offense. So the defense really needs to make sure they do their own thing.
Ron, we thank you very much. Again, let the people know what you're going to be doing the rest of this week. I know it's a holiday week. Might be a little different. Maybe not. But your time to flood the airwaves with what's in line for the rest of the week.
Right, yeah. I wrote up the defensive backs. Spagnuolo talked about the defensive backs, and you'll see that on the site soon. But, no, just my usual pregame stuff. I'll be scouting the opponents. Got kind of hard this week with the Rams, you know, without all the injuries they have. And then I'll do my five things to watch, which, you know, there's a few – interesting roster things we saw today, like a Lucas Niang. Do we see him maybe play on Sunday? That's an interesting thing that I might have to throw in the five things to watch. So check out for that on the site. It'll all be up, you know, before the game.
Well, thanks again, Ron, and have a happy Thanksgiving with you and your family and everybody involved.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you guys.
You got it. Ron Kopp, lead analyst of Arrowhead Pride Radio.
Loves him some French silk pie.
So does the text line. Literally the best pie. Next number, chocolate pudding pie, basically. So delicious.
I'm a blueberry man.
Blueberry pie, Pete. That's where you're the best guest on the radio station.
2-1, outvoted on his own.
That's the hardest show I've seen Jed Marshall in my entire life. You didn't even get blueberry pie out of your mouth, and he was saluting you and just praising your presence.
Warm up blueberry pie. Get a little bit of that cream. Ice cream. The temperature difference there, nothing better than that.
When we go to break, Pete, I'm going to show you a picture. Oh. We had some fresh blueberry pie in Maine.
Oh, wow.
It was bomb.com.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Then he just ruined it with the bomb.com.
You know,
wow. Who are you?
A little throwback. I can respect it, right?
Anyways, we come back. Don't forget, get your questions in for Pete Sweeney and Arrowhead Pride, 913-586-7610, also at Arrowhead Pride, whatever you want to do.
We'll end the hour with those questions.
Yeah, we'll end the hour. We come back. I want to ask Pete a couple questions that I think have some severity of actually hitting when it comes to the gambling world, plus your questions, all that during the Arrowhead Pride radio show here on 610 Sports Radio, coming up next. Back in on Arrowhead Pride Radio on a Wednesday afternoon. Oh, there you go. I'm just, I guess I'm not thankful enough on the text line. It is what it is.
What do you mean?
Well, they just said from the 913, Dusty's showing his much taste in it, or Dusty's showing his music tastes are worse than his sports takes.
Wow.
Everyone knows Queen is the best band ever. Mm. They could, which this is kind of a little cloudy for me to understand. They could and did have songs in every genre. And Freddie Mercury was a master entertainer, R.I.P. Freddie.
Got to tell you, I think the text line just rocked you a little bit there.
Agree to disagree. I mean, what I always say to people is, like, I have respect for Freddie Mercury.
Right.
No, right, I know this. That. I know the song, Jed. Mm. Jed always thinks I'm like this dumbass. Like, he just like permanently thinks I'm dumb.
You've presented a lot of information in the short time we've worked together.
Yeah.
But I've also anyways, I'm not going to. It's like a different version of Unicero. God. Is that a shot?
I don't know.
Okay, you're laughing like
this. I don't know if it wasn't.
Well, you just act like that went over my head, and I did a hard pause. So maybe the hard pause went over Jed's head. So
a lot of flying above heads. I'm grounded right now though, that because you know it's the holiday weekend.
I'm blessed.
We're ready to go. Yeah, the text line is not thankful for your takes in any facet.
No, it's fine. Yeah. It's fine. No, it's fine. But again, you can get your questions in for Pete Sweeney. Anything Chiefs related, maybe Thanksgiving related. I don't know what you want to do. 913-586-7610. But Pete, what I want to ask you is, can Andy Reid win Coach of the Year?
I think so. I think for a coach like Andy Reid, who's been successful for so many years in a row, to be able to win it, you have to be faced with some adversity. And I think the adversity for Andy and really the organization was self-created when Tyreek Hill priced himself out and said he didn't want to take the contract that the Chiefs had offered, and the Chiefs kind of put their hand in the sand and said, we're not going to go over a certain place. And what did they do? They traded what has been the best wide receiver in the league, it's looked like. And to be able to win like they have, and for the replacements to be having enough production to get you first place in the AFC through more than half the season. If you, for example, now run the table, which if you really look at the Chiefs' schedule, I'm not trying to look past anyone, but the game that you circle is the Bengals game. And the other games are very winnable. I think you can make a case where, okay, the Bengals-Chiefs game in Cincy, it's going to be this game that both teams really want to win. You could, in a way, especially if they're getting Chase back this week and they'll play in that game, could see where it's going to have that playoff-like atmosphere. When you have those types of games, anything can happen. The rest of the schedule, I know that it includes some division games, but the Chiefs should take care of business. So you're looking at possibly a 15-2 record after trading Tyreek Hill. So, yeah, I think it's entirely possible, because you also got to look at who else. So who else is in that mix? Mike McDaniel, right? I think Brian Daboll certainly could be in that mix. Who else do you really even consider?
Sirianni,
sure. If they end up getting the bye.
Is Pete Carroll in the conversation?
I think if the Seahawks were to make the playoffs with Geno Smith, yes, of course. I think this Coach of the Year award has always been weird to me, because it doesn't always go to the guy who's had years of consistent success. It's more about the storyline of that year. And I think finally, to your point, and what Andy Reid has here is a story of adversity and overcoming it, just because they created that by trading away Tyreek Hill. And what has helped that narrative is that Hill's played so well in Miami too. I mean, his numbers are ridiculous. So trading that away and still possibly getting this AFC bye would certainly put Andy Reid in the
conversation. Because the thing that got me so much flack last year was the fact that I thought Andy Reid should have won Coach of the Year last year. And a lot of people said, no, the Chiefs were expected to win the division. The Chiefs were expected to be a playoff team. He's done that. But where my argument was the fact that Andy Reid was 3-4, and in a matter of 6 weeks, he clinched the division. So he was a game below 500 with his team. And in a matter of 6 weeks, by week 14,
yeah,
they were the winning. They won the AFC West. Like, they beat the Chargers on Thursday night. And so, like, the argument that I got back was, well, it's not about how you do it. It's how you're projected and how you finish.
I mean,
and in this year, this is where it started, was they were picked to pick third in the division, below the Raiders and the Chargers. They lose their weapon, like you just mentioned, and yet they're 8-2. They're the best team in the AFC. They're a one seed. So he's doing exactly what everyone said you had to do to win it last year, this year. And he's never won it.
Well, I think the idea of trading away Hill really helps Andy Reid in that narrative. In an alternate universe where Tyreek Hill was still here, and let's say the Chiefs were undefeated, I think if they went undefeated, Andy Reid would get it. But let's say if Tyreek is still here, let's say Tyreek is still here and they have one loss, I'm still not sure he's winning it, because there's just other stories that other people can build. You know, Sirianni, you have, other coaches going in different areas, where the Giants were an absolute disaster, for example, under Joe Judge. And then all of a sudden they're playing well with the same players. Like, there's just other storylines. So now there is that adversity. There is that story. And I think Andy Reid should be in the mix for it. You know, I think it would help if Sirianni were to fall off. Sirianni probably is the number one competition that you would think, especially if the Eagles finish first in the conference. But I see him over McDaniel, in my opinion. I think it's a better story than what Dable's been able to do. And so it's well-deserved. So regardless, maybe this is the year. Maybe you're onto something here.
It just seems like he's never won. Like, I guess AP, if that counts.
The Associated Press or Arrowhead Pride?
No, either one. Arrowhead Pride matters more.
Well, I have a good feeling about Andy Reid winning the AP Coach of the Year.
Yeah.
My AP.
I find it weird that he's never won NFL Coach of the Year. And he's done all these things.
Right.
But it's just expected. Like, that to me just seems like a very piss-poor argument to say that that's why he's never won it.
It's not easy for future Pro Football Hall of Fame coaches to win that yearly award. It just isn't, because there's too much consistent success. Eventually,
how many times do you think Belichick's won it? And what years do you think he won it?
Probably the first year, right, that they won, went to the Super Bowl, I would guess.
And then his 16-0 year?
And maybe the 16-0 year. And I mean, I don't know. I don't have that in front of me.
No, I know. It was a curveball.
I would guess. I would guess two, no more than three. That would be my guess.
I just find it hard to believe that Andy Reid's never won this award. Now, I don't know how long and I don't really know, honestly, the difference between AP Coach of the Year and NFL Coach of the Year. I guess the Associated Press and National Football League, whatever matters more. So Bill Belichick has won 3 times.
Nailed
the
it.
AP Coach of the Year. He's won 2 times SN Coach of the Year.
What is that?
I don't know. And then he's won 3 times PFWA Coach of the Year.
That's the Pro Football Writers Association?
Yeah.
I'm a member of the PFWA.
And you probably voted for him.
I didn't vote for him, no.
So I guess AP Coach of the Year is the one we go off of. So oh, wow. Andy Reid has 1 and Bill Belichick has 3.
Okay.
3 of them.
Yeah.
And I just...
Seems unfair. You know?
So I guess one Coach of the Year in 2002, and then he's never done anything else after that. The other question that I have for you is, and I brought this up to Ron Hughley when he was on air. Am I biased?
The show.
Yep. Am I biased to think that every single award that is significant, the Chiefs could win? And what I mean by that is MVP is over, I personally think, unless he just gets hurt and Tua goes off for Miami and they make the playoffs and they win the East. I think that's the only way he loses than Jalen Hurts.
I don't think Mahomes is losing to Tua or Hurts.
Because I think, again, the only way he could do it is if he's like out for the rest of the year.
The numbers are going to be too outrageous.
Yeah.
Remember that year where Drew Brees' numbers weren't close and people are still trying to make Brees into this possible MVP? I don't even think the numbers are going to be as close, like as far apart as they were that year. I think they're going to be further apart. I just think there's going to be no choice this year.
Okay. So MVP locked up. Let's move on to Coach of the Year. There's a chance, we just talked about it, that Andy Reid could win Coach of the Year because of prior engagements that happened preseason.
Prior engagements.
Offensive Player of the Year. Could you make an argument, non-biased, that Travis Kelce could be the Offensive Player of the Year?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Of course. Especially as we were talking about earlier, if he is able to break the tight end record for touchdowns, I think that touchdown number is going to help him a lot. I know that 7 of them came in 2 games, but I think when you are able to put up, let's say he gets to 17, 18 touchdowns.
But 7 of those were in division games.
But it's very possible that happens because he's just on a tear right now. Then I don't know how he doesn't get it, even if he is gotten in the yardage, which he will be by these receivers. But even in saying that, like, this is a tight end, man. And to have him amongst the yardage of the top 10 pass catchers, which are all, the rest of them are receivers. The only one who could get close to that mix is Mark Andrews. And because of health and whatnot, he isn't. I think that the voters should look at that and be like, well, it's not even a receiver, and he's among the top 10, and he's the league leader in touchdowns. Yeah, I think, of course, he could win Offensive Player of the Year.
And I think he could also be close in receptions. And I think if he's close in 2 of the 3 categories, then especially if he leads one.
He's
a tight end.
I hope the voters really look at this, but because his first down numbers are great, too, where – like, I don't know if we make enough of a big deal about first downs. Maybe this is like a Pete Sweeney hot take, but – first downs or touchdowns, that stat to me is one of the more important stats that we never discuss because it shows who the quarterback trusts the most. It very clearly, because on second down, on third down, even on first down, who are you looking for to get you past the sticks and get you a fresh set of downs? And man, Travis Kelce always is near the top of the league in first downs or touchdowns.
Very reliable. And then the last one would be Defensive Player of the Year. I think Micah Parsons has ran away with it, but I think if Chris Jones can continue to do what he's been doing the last 3 weeks, there is an argument to be had that he's up there in the top 2.
I have a tough time thinking that Micah Parsons is not going to win it.
Right. Just because of how early he took off with it.
But I think 3 of 4 is possible, and it's a shame that Parsons is doing what he's doing because I think Jones would be right there with everybody else if Parsons didn't exist. But
Chris Jones has been better than Aaron Donald this year.
No, not even close.
Right.
No question. And you know, you're seeing that in the pressures. It's sort of a mini contract year in a way for him because I think he could almost, by his play, demand that the Chiefs extend him before he enters the final year next year. And you're seeing, as we've said on this radio station for years and years, the contract year, pseudo contract years, are undefeated. And I wouldn't be surprised if Jones finishes with 15 sacks or more and ends up with a brand spanking new contract in Kansas City, despite Brett Veach really not liking to give these 28-year-olds long-term contracts. I think it really has to be undeniable because this team hands out good contracts nowadays. And it's been undeniable for Chris Jones. And again, it's a shame that Micah Parsons is just so clearly the best defensive player in the league. If he didn't exist, it would be very possible for the Chiefs to sweep.
You bring up the Rams, you bring up contracts with the Chiefs. I want to ask you this before we get into the mailbag. Remember, any question you have for Pete Sweeney, 913-586-7610. Before we get into that, whose 4 years are you taking in their last 4 years, the Chiefs or the Rams? Because the Rams did it the way that we've talked about a little bit. Just go buy your team with draft picks, whereas the Chiefs buy their team by picking their draft picks. Yes, they trade their first-round pick to the Ravens for Orlando Brown, but by doing so, they gain a third-round pick or a second-round pick and draft Nick Bolton. They trade Tyreek Hill, and I believe they get, what, McDuffie and Sky Moore out of those picks? Is that right?
I believe so.
So you've done that. McDuffie seems like he's kind of figured out the position in the NFL. Chiefs go to two Super Bowls. Rams have been to two Super Bowls. Chiefs won a Super Bowl. Rams won a Super Bowl. It is clearly obvious to me, Pete, the Rams have nowhere to go the next 3 to 5 years. Whereas it's clearly obvious to me, the Chiefs have a clear and distinctive plan what they're doing the next 3 to 5 years, and that is trusting 15 and keeping 87 as perfectly involved in this offense as possible.
Well, I think both teams did it the right way for their situations, right? Because you have Patrick Mahomes, and Patrick Mahomes is not only the best quarterback very clearly in the league, he also happens to be 27 years old. Matt Stafford is right now 34. So I think the Rams says to themselves, how many great years of Matt Stafford do we have left? How many Super Bowl caliber years of Matt Stafford do we have left? And they bet on it and cashed. It was a big bet, and it was a big cash. The Chiefs doing that for 1 year when Patrick Mahomes is 27, you know, you have at least 6 to 8 years of high level play, and then after that, even if he tapers off a little bit, I think he can have a Brady like. Still, you want to say 80% of Patrick Mahomes is still better than a lot of the league, 90% of the league. You know, let's just say for argument's sake. So what the Chiefs did is. They made shrewd moves. They wanted to be competitive each year. They wanted to give their sides enough. They needed to draft really well, which they have these last few years. And not only are they among the Super Bowl favorites this year, but they've built themselves flexibility for future years. And what that means is there's going to be good football in Kansas City for the next 5 to 10 to 15 years plus. I don't necessarily blame LA because Matt Stafford looks almost done. So if you hadn't done it last year, it wasn't going to happen for you, right? So, and we were talking about this off air. The Rams are going to be bad for a long time now because of using all those picks. I know that Aaron Donald flirted with retirement last year. I don't see why he would play past this year because they are years plural away with this fall off. The Chiefs are going to be competitive every year, and as long as you have Patrick Mahomes and they continue to nail these drafts, it's been really impressive. The draft is, you know, at its heart, still a little bit of a crapshoot, and the Chiefs have been really, really good and fortunate. I mean, they bet on raw traits that are turning into players like L'Jarius Sneed and Jalen Watson and Joshua Williams, and it's just been wild to see. So I definitely would take the Chiefs because you're even in Super Bowls, and the Chiefs and their Chiefs fans have 10 to 15 years of this play to look forward to. You know, who knows if they miss the playoffs one of those years, but most of the years you're going to make the playoffs. And whenever you're in the tournament, you might not always be the first seed, but you have a chance to win a championship. I don't know when the Rams are going to be in the playoffs again. I really don't. You know that, and I think you take that over anything else.
Every week, send us your questions on Twitter at Arrowhead Pride and at 610 Sports KC. Now it's time for the mail.
That's right. A special Thanksgiving Day mailbag, too. So if you have any questions that you want to ask Pete, football, Thanksgiving.
So this is anything, really?
It has to be. So this is kind of like one of those old bits they used to do on the show, like Ask Us Anything, but it's the AP mailbag.
You're going to the Parkins dot days.
Hey, man, what a guy he is. What a guy he is. Still a good guy, too. Still right. Still able to reach
glory
out.
Glory days.
Yeah. So we'll go with question number one from the 816. Pete, are you a cranberry sauce guy?
Of course. Of course, let's get sauce. That's what I always say at the beginning of every.
But like the can that makes the thing or the.
No. It's got to come in the can. It's got to have the ridges. Yeah, I take a slice of that and you spread it all over the turkey.
Okay.
Which, of course, jumps out.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Pete, can we get a Turkey Day weather report for your case for your number one KC morning?
I think it's going to be clear, right? Is it clear tomorrow? I'm guessing. it just really depends on where you're spending Thanksgiving. I'm looking. Let me get the 10-day up for you.
Okay.
All right. AM clouds. Cloudy skies early, then partly cloudy in the afternoon, 55 high. It's a little chilly at night, so you might be able to wear just a sweater in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Let's bring the heavy jacket out if you're going to go see the Plaza Lights. You know what I'm saying?
Jed and I were talking about that earlier. I've never been.
Hmm. I don't want to dissuade you from going.
I'm not going to go.
It's very quick. It's like a movie that has a big buildup, very pumped, and like it's almost like it never
satisfies.
Pans. Never satisfied. You never scratch that itch.
It's like a good date lights. That ends with a kiss on the cheek.
Yeah, you can see him for the whole month. And there's, I mean, it's just, you know, and I don't know. I did it once myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather go down an hour after.
It's
very crowded for not a big payoff.
You and Jed both said you've only done it once and then never gone again.
I would say wait an hour, then go down there and see them.
Okay.
In a way, it's being turned on for you.
Okay. Yeah. Well.
Kids probably would get pumped up, though.
Yeah.
You can also go the next day and be there at like 4:30, and then they turn them on again, and you're right. Like, oh, wow.
Do you have any children?
Negative.
Oh, then I would wait for that.
Okay. Pete, outside of Chris Jones, who's been the best player on defense, and why is it Nick Bolton? They answered their own question. From the 785, by
the way. It's definitely been Chris Jones. I think the only player that, for me, would rival Nick Bolton might be Trent McDuffie, but we wouldn't think of him in that way because we didn't see him enough.
Mm-hmm.
But when he's been in, he's been... I don't know if we're ready to say lockdown, but as close to that as you can possibly be. So for me, I think I would go, if I'm just trying to use what we've seen, and I understand it's been limited, I would go probably Jones, McDuffie, and then Bolton.
Okay.
And then maybe Colin Saunders. Sneaky. Sneaky, sneaky.
McDuffie has been pretty locked down. It's pretty nice to watch that.
Who knew that Colin Saunders would be among the best defensive players for the Chiefs this year?
Hey, man, you look in the mirror and you say, you want to keep doing this? You want to go do something else outside of the NFL? You might find that inner strength to go play really good defensive tackle.
You didn't think that he wanted to maybe... coach high school football and make TikTok videos anymore. He wanted to stay an NFL player.
Yeah.
That was ultimate motivation.
Also, I think he realized that 95 was next to him, and that if he just used a little bit more strength, they'd probably focus on him.
I love the energy. He said he just had been hurt these first few years. And, sometimes guys use that as an excuse, but it really looks like that might have been the case. And you're right. He gets one-on-ones, and he's someone who really loves to stop the run. That's all you want from a D-tackle, especially a backup.
Well, it's time to get out of here, Pete, last but not least. But what do you got moving forward the rest of the week? Holiday, three things you need on Thanksgiving, and then what you got coming out on AP Pride?
Yeah, I think you need a good Thanksgiving sweater, okay. Right?
Cardigan?
I kind of alluded to it before. I have a sweater that has some cranberry sauce on it. It says, let's get sauced.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I'll post a photo of it to my social tomorrow.
Ugh.
Football, right? Mm-hmm. We got some good games. We sometimes get a bad Thanksgiving slate. This is a really, really good one.
And you get World Cup.
And we already mentioned it. Me and Jed are in lockstep, baby. Blueberry pie with some ice cream. All right.
So blueberry pie, football, and...
A good sweater.
A good sweater.
Yeah, we'll keep you updated at arrowheadpride.com. Just because it's a holiday doesn't mean we're not going to have articles. We got our writers pumping whatever happened today. We'll have the injury reports, everything you can expect. Ron talked about it earlier, five things to watch, so on and so forth. So we're locked and loaded. We'll pick back up. Heavy on Friday, and we got a game on Sunday. Bryce Perkins versus Patrick Mahomes should be fun.
Mm.
Lay the points.
Mm. Let's do it. Pete, thankful for your friendship. Thankful for your time.
Yes.
Have a good holiday. We'll talk to you next week.
All right.
I'm Dusty Likens. That's Pete Sweeney. Arrowhead Pride Radio over. We come back. We'll dive into what I think is going to be a rematch of 2019.